Reading from Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divisions of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the center of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from this sight, but all things are naked and open to the eye of him, to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions.
It's good to be here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are eternally grateful and thankful that God allows us to come before him and worship him in spirit and in truth. If you will, I want us to be turning our attention. I appreciate all who are here on this morning. The singing, remembering of the Lord's death till he returned. Hebrews chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you first the principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food or strong meat. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong food belongs to those who are of a full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This morning I want us to talk about true strength. As the people of God, it's very challenging to remember that God brought us up out of sin. The reason why I say that is because of all of the distractions in our world. If we're not careful, we will allow the distractions of this world to cause us to even forget that God delivered us from the bondage of sin. And praise be to God that he did. Praise be to God that he brought us up out of sin and into the power of his might. We're thankful that he has translated us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But there's a problem here, and the problem that we have here is the Hebrew Christians were leaving Christianity, going back under a system called Judaism. And because they was going back under that system, they were losing their focus. They were losing, here it is, their strength. You know, there's one thing to be strong. There's another thing to think that you are. Apparently, the Hebrew Christians thought that they were strong enough to go back under a system that they thought was going to protect them. But truly, the protection was in Christ Jesus. That old system had been nailed to the cross, and they needed to stay faithful to that system. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Well, even us today, when we consider and always keep in mind that we were brought up out of sin by the power of the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We have been saved because of the power of God and our obedience to the will of God, which means that we must be reminded that we're not to rely upon our own righteousness. We have to be reminded that we're not to rely upon our own understanding. And we have to be reminded that we're not to rely upon our own wisdom. You know, there's a few passages that I want us to just kind of peruse over as relates to those three quick points that I gave you. We're not to rely upon our own righteousness, Titus 3:5. We're not to lean upon our own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. And we're not to rely upon our own wisdom, Proverbs 23 and verse number 4. Oh, how easy it is for us sometimes to even condemn the Hebrew Christians because they have left Jesus Christ going back into a system that was not protected by the blood of Christ. If we're not careful, the same thing can happen when we are relying upon our own righteousness, our own understanding, our own wisdom. Yet, we're to trust and rely upon the Word of God and Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 28, when he gives this great illustration after this great sermon on the mountainside, if you will. how he brings up two, one who builds his house upon the sand and one who builds his house upon the rock. You remember what they said about him? They said they were astonished because he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Because God has always wanted us to build upon the rock, build upon that which is stable and sure and foundational, if you will. Paul, the apostle, in Ephesians chapter 6, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse number 10. Just want to throw a quick point out there as we're looking at some introductory material. Here, Paul is encouraging the brethren here at Ephesus to do something. Finally, my brethren, notice, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, how tempting it is to be strong according to our own might. Be strong in our own understanding, our own wisdom. But here he is encouraging them to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, he tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hebrew Christians, before you leave Christianity and go back into Judaism, consider being strong in the Lord. As the people of God, we have to be strong in the Lord. What is true strength? What does it mean to really be strong? Well, when we consider some more points, Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13 has something to say about being strong. And friends, to be strong means to watch out what's going on around us. Spiritually, we need to watch out what's going on around us at all times while the enemy is always trying to bring us down. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. It's interesting that when we think of strength, think about maybe going to the gym, and that's fine. Financial strength, that's good. Secular strength, that's okay. But friends, true strength is in Christ. True strength is because of his word. And if we're going to be strong, we have to be strong because of the word. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse number 14, and notice what John the apostle of love has to say. I love this particular passage, and just this one verse says a lot. As we look at this verse, I want us to go here, and then we're going to illustrate this particular point in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. But notice what John here has to say. He says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men. Why, John? Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. It's interesting. He didn't say you because you're strong and you're lifting weights. You're strong and you have a strong back. No, you're strong because the word of God abides in you. Notice Daniel chapter 10 and notice verse 18 and 19 as we continue the thought process in this introduction. Notice what Daniel has to say, and I love the context of Daniel chapter 10 as he is being prophesied to, if you will, of Persia and Greece. Notice what is said in Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse number 18. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me. Notice what Daniel is saying. And strengthened me. He made me strong. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Now, Daniel, why is this angel telling you this? Apparently, there must have been some fear in the heart of Daniel. And apparently, he needed to be encouraged, to be strong. And at times in Christianity, friends, we need to be encouraged to be strong in every aspect of our lives. We're Christians. We're followers of God. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And even us need to be encouraged to be strong. But notice what he says. So when he spoke to me, that's key, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Friends, did you see that? And it was because of the words that Daniel was strengthened. It was because of the words that Daniel was encouraged. It was because of the words that Daniel did not have to fear anymore. Friends, it's the same for us today. There may be one today who is considering leaving the faith. I'm tired of Christianity. I'm tired of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm tired of doing that which is right. I can't wait to get on my own so I can just do whatever I want to do. Friends, I want to encourage you to be strong. Hang in there. Don't give up. And at times, that's what we need. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 16 as we look into our first point. Number one, as it relates to true strength. What is truly being strengthened? Is it our physical bodies? To a certain degree, yes. Because we understand that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. We understand those things. And our body is controlled, listen to this, by our soul, by our will, our heart, our intellect, our emotions. And all of us have those things in ourselves. But Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, notice this chain of reasoning I'm taking you through. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 16, Paul has something to say that is just powerful beyond measure in his prayer to God because of the mystery of Jew and Gentile, all nations, if you will, being in Christ Jesus, being saved, being in the church. Notice what he says here that is just so powerful. He says that he, talking about God, will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Notice what Paul is writing to the Ephesian brethren here. He says he wanted them to be strengthened with might. Hold on. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strengthened with might. How, Paul? Through his spirit. Through his spirit? Is it talking about something miraculous? I believe not. Even when you consider the context in which Paul is talking about in his prayer, he wanted them to be encouraged by the Spirit's teaching where? In their inner man. And Brother Popejoy, this is the only time this phraseology is used in the scriptures. Only one time this phraseology is used. However, the Apostle Paul says it again a different way in Romans chapter 7 in verse number 22. And the reason why I wanted to bring this particular point out, friends, is because our true strength is from within. You ever wonder how someone who is not even a believer in God, how do they make it through the most heinous things in their lives, the tragedies in their lives, when they have been discouraged and when people have done them wrong? How do they get through those things? How do they get through death in their family, the death of a loved one? How do they get through these things in their life without God? I'll say this, God has given us all a resolve. God has put something in all of us that digs down deep into the soul of man that causes him to rise to the occasion. How do you get past the death of a child? How do you get past the death of a mother or a father? How do you get past the apostasy of a child? How do you get past these things in your life, in my life, that causes us to want to give up? How do you get past those things? Well, in Christ, we get through it through his word, through our relationship with the Father in Jesus Christ. Friends, we get through it because of the relationship we have with our brethren in Christ. How do you get past people who are always seeking to do you harm? How do you get past those things? The Apostle Paul had to get through some things. He even said, Alexander the coppersmith done me much evil. Paul, how do you get through that? My relationship with God helped me to get through that. The word of God helped me to get through this because of the inner man and because of the strength. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, I've been thinking about this. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, wow, sometimes you just want to give up. You just want to give up on Christianity because of the pull of the opposite sex. You just want to give up on Christianity because of the pull of drugs and alcohol. We have all of these things around us, and as the people of God, we need to keep our eyes open because these things are going on around us, and they're asking us questions. How do I get past these things in my life? How can I get past these addictions in my life? How do I do this? And we ought to say, I have the answer. I'm ready to give an answer to him that asked me, the hope that is within me. Number two, what does being strong look like? We know that strength is from the inner man. It's from God to the inner man. But what does it look like? In Romans chapter 5, we see that the strong life in Christ is a justified life. That's interesting. You know what it means to be justified? It means just as if you have never sinned. To be declared right before God. No one can be declared right without Jesus. No one can be declared right without his blood. Yet Paul, as he is talking to the Roman brethren, and I love this particular text because after he brings up Abraham as an object lesson of being justified before the law, he brings these powerful points as it relates to triumphing even in the midst of trouble. And the people of God needed to hear these things. Just like we need to hear these things from time to time. Oh, yes, we need to hear about the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We need to talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the work of the Spirit. We need to talk about those things, but we also need to talk about how to be strong even in the midst of trial. Therefore, verse number one, having been justified by faith, notice, what does the justified life look like? We have peace with God. A person who is justified, those of us who are Christians, we have peace with God. That tranquil life, that life of ease, if you will. No, I'm not talking about being at ease in Zion, doing nothing in the Lord, but we understand the peace that passes all understanding. We get through these things because of our relationship with the Father. And Paul, as he is writing by inspiration, says something very powerful. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom also we have access by faith, notice, into this grace in which we stand. The justified life is in the grace of God. The justified life stands in the grace of God. And the justified life rejoices in the hope of the glory of God. We can't wait for Jesus Christ to be sent back for us. The justified life. This is what keeps us strong and keep us moving forward, if you will. It keeps us encouraging one another and it keeps us standing on the word. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Hold on, Paul. Don't tell us that. Are you telling me the trouble that I'm going through because of my stance for the gospel and stance for the truth and relationship with Jehovah, I'm supposed to glory in that? The answer is yes. Why? Because in that glorying, we know that it's going to produce something. The trouble that we go through as Christians, as the people of God, is going to produce endurance. Your version may say perseverance. Endurance, James 1 and verse number 3, our faith must go through the fire. It must endure. It must continue to fight the good fight of faith. And that produces character, and character produces hope. And one thing that people are looking for, they're looking for some hope. But they can only see it in those who are the children of God. The strong life looks like a justified life. It's a life full of hope and character and endurance and glory in tribulation. Why? Verse 5. Because hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God has been shed upon us in our hearts by the Spirit who's given to us. Friends, I wish I had time to develop all of that. But the strong life is a justified life. It's a delivered life. Look at Romans 6, 17 and 18. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it's a delivered life. Delivered from what? Delivered from sin. This was the problem with those Hebrew Christians. Do you realize you've been delivered from sin? Why are you going back underneath a system that you were delivered from? Notice what Paul tells these Roman brethren. He says, but God be thanked that though you were, notice the past tense language there, you were the servants of sin. You were the slaves of sin, the New King James Version renders. Yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching, that pattern of doctrine, that stamp of teaching, if you will, to which you were delivered. You were delivered from sin. Friends, if you truly want to be strong, you have to first be delivered from sin. Those of us who have been delivered from sin, we're no longer slaves of unrighteousness. Oh, here we see that there's nothing wrong with being a slave. At least that's what Paul said. Look at verse 18. I mean, really, who wants to be known as a slave? I mean, who goes around San Angelo saying, I'm a slave? No, I don't want to be identified as a slave. That means I have to have a master. Well, yes. Verse 18, notice what he says. And having been free, set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Well, friends, if you want a master, shouldn't you pick the right master? The right master is the master that sits on high and he looks low. The right master is the one that died for the sins of all mankind. The right master is the one that will never mistreat you. He will always give you the right teaching. He will always give you the correct discipline. He will always lead you in the ways of righteousness. The right master. The right slave owner, if you will. And no wonder we carry on his slave name, Christian. I'm a slave of righteousness. I don't want to be a slave of sin, unrighteousness. I want to be a slave of righteousness. Why? Because that's what the strong life looks like. So when you walk around and people say, are you a slave? You better believe I am. I'm a slave of righteousness. But you're a slave of something. Let us be a slave to Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. What does being strong look like? Being strong looks like a hope-focused life. This is interesting. As I was perusing through some of these things that causes us to be strong and gives us incentive to be strong, gives us motivation to be strong. And friends, motivation comes from within. This is why we have to saturate our minds with the Word of God. And this is why when you're saturating your mind and you're saturating your mind and you encourage me and I encourage you, that inner man kicks in, that inner man is motivated and generated. And the next thing you know, we're doing the will of God and we have hope of something beyond this life because we know that the next life is just as real. Notice what he says in verse 24 and 25 of Romans 8. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance, perseverance. The strong life looks like a life that is hopefully waiting. Friends, I know sometimes this life is a great life, especially in America. I know the things that's going on in America are not all that good from a perspective. We understand that. But for the most part, it's still the best country you can probably live in and still worship God and still honor God. But friends, there is a new dwelling waiting for us. There is a hope of righteousness waiting for us. That there is a place that God, that Jesus Christ rather, has gone to go build, if you will. John 14, verses 1 through 5. Friends, it is the new life. It's that life that we don't have to worry about sin anymore. We don't have to worry about cancer. We don't have to worry about going blind. We don't have to worry about our limbs not working. We don't have to worry about people dying in our families and causing us pain and agony. Friends, during this particular time, when Paul was writing to the Roman brethren, they were concerned, highly concerned about these things, because they were dying for the cause of Christ. Paul is saying, we have a hope waiting for us. You hang in there. Don't you give up. You stay focused on Jesus. And that's what we have to do. And lastly, what does being strong look like? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse number 1, one preacher said this one time years back. He said, you might not need this lesson today, but you'll need it eventually one day. Because we're all getting older. And man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. The strong life looks like this. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Therefore, this is after he's encouraging the brethren to leave those things that are unholy, idolatry. Leave those things alone. And God will identify with you, and you will be identified with him. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the mind, the spirit, the attitude, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Friends, true strength looks like this. True strength looks just like what we just talked about. If you really want to be strong and stay strong, continue being justified, delivered. Continue to have that hope. Continue to live a holy life, set apart for God, identified with God, looking forward to that home. This strength, which comes from the Word of God, cultivates our new man. And friends, we do. Or we are a new people in Christ Jesus. And we have to keep that in mind, that I don't identify with that old man. And this is one thing that the Hebrews writer kept bringing out. You keep going back to the old when Jesus brought the new. You keep want to go under a system that was nailed to the cross when after the cross, it was all about the new system. Well, in Christ, we do that. I mean, don't raise your hand, but do you ever struggle want to go back to that old lifestyle? Sometimes we do. And we have to ask ourselves, do I love the Lord? Is it worth me living with God throughout eternity? Do I really want to see God's face in peace? Is it that important to me? The answer is yes, it is important to me. It's important that I cultivate that new man attitude. It's important to me that I identify with God. It's important to me that I deny myself and I don't rely upon my own wisdom. It's important to me. Why? It's important to God. In Ephesians chapter 4, 23 through 32, notice this chain of reasoning. This chain of reasoning is powerful in my thought. And notice what he says to these brethren. This is after he talked about them being identified with Christ. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking about the mind. And friends, for the most part, we understand that. We understand it is about the way I think. But notice what he says. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. How? In true righteousness and holiness. Why holiness? Why righteousness? Why righteousness? Because of the gospel. Romans 1:17, Matthew 6:33. Why holiness? Because of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Be holy. I'm holy. I'm set apart. God is set apart from sin. And then notice what he says in verses 25 through the end of the chapter. Therefore, put away lying, that each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, remembers one of another. Friends, if you ever want to be strong, tell the truth. Teach your children, tell the truth. When your children are not telling the truth, correct them. Show them the importance of telling the truth and how telling the truth is identifying with God and telling a lie is not identifying with God. You're not going to hurt them now. If anything, you'll save them from torment later. But notice what he says. Be angry and do not sin. I wish I had time to speak on this. Let me give you two passages to put in your notes. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that, listen to this, that ruleth his spirit than he that takes a city. Proverbs 22:24. He that maketh friends with an angry man, not wise. Question. Are you an angry person? Do you find yourself getting angry quickly? Really, those who get angry quickly are not that strong. Yet those who rule their spirit is greater than he that takes over a city. Wow. You know how much strength it takes to keep your cool? You remember when those religious leaders came to Jesus? They found this woman in the very act of adultery. What should we do to him, Jesus? He says, he's right in me. And then he gets up and he says what he needs to say. When he was on the cross, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21 and following, that when he was reviled, meaning they talked evil toward him, he did not talk evil in return. The strength that it takes, and the time we live in today, we say things, we do things, we type things, we text things sometimes, and we display our anger. And Paul says that's not identified with the new man. That's identified with the old man. Oh, the strength, true strength, is not seen in the financials. It's not seen in the secular, but it's seen in the spiritual. And here we stay focused on the spiritual. Why? Because we don't want to give place for the devil, verse 27. We don't want to be accused of stealing or even stealing, verse 28. We don't want corrupt words to proceed out of our mouths, verse 29. But look at verse number 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He's talking about the miraculous there. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, loud speaking. That's when you're angry. And evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. Here it is. And be kind to one another. Do I need to say that again? Be kind. The strong Christian is he's the one that's kind. Well, hold on. Don't mistake me. I mean, what about when Paul, when he cursed Elymas and struck him blind? Was that kind? Oh yeah, it was. Put him in a position where he saw God. Here, when we consider being kind, one is not being ugly and angry as opposed to good, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ have forgiven you. Oh, friends, God wants us to be a strong people. The question is, are we strong? Last but not least, true strength is seen in meekness and lowliness. We find that with Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to show you something about the Apostle Paul. And I truly believe that this is probably one of the greatest points that Paul makes as it relates to controlling himself. Oh yes, buffeting his body is powerful. But notice what Paul says. If anything, Paul said, I could have used my apostolic authority to come down upon you hard, but I'm not going to do that. You know, sometimes people use their authority to come down on people. Paul said, that's not me. He says, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you, notice Apostle Paul, he says, I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Drop down to verse number 7. He says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, this apostolic authority, which the Lord gave us for building up, for encouragement, and not for your destruction. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm not trying to kill you. I want to build you up. I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are, notice, weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such we will, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. Paul, what are you saying to them? I could use my apostolic authority, but I'm not. I want you to do what is right because it's right to do what is right. I could appeal to you in a certain way that comes across harsh, but I'm going to use strength and I'm going to appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Friends, we ought to be those type of people as well. Let us develop our strength. Let's develop our courage. Let us depend upon his grace. Let us determine to grow in our understanding. Why? Because we want to be governed by God. We don't want to be a people who show true strength and true character and not being conformed to this world, not trusting in the riches of this world, but to trust in God. So friends, I want to encourage us to keep in mind that we are the people of God, and true strength comes from Christ. True strength comes from God. True strength comes from his word. One point. Are you saturating your mind with God's word? That's where the strength is. That's where the courage comes from. I know sometimes, even in my own personal life, when I find my soul not being as disciplined as it needs to be, I try to identify that weakness. I try to identify what's going on. And sometimes I need outside help in order to identify that. Sometimes we need outside help in order to help us identify what's causing our soul, our spirit, our attitude, our mind, our intellect, our will, our ego to not be what God wants it to be. But we do know this. All of the answers and everything we need that pertains to life and godliness is in this great book. This is where the strength is. And if we're going to get through anything and stay strong, that we may hear those words, well done, friends, let us never veer from the word of God. Let us always stay with the scriptures. Let us always stay with the Lord. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be strong. You know, it's interesting that people boast on how strong they are in different areas of life. If anything, we ought to boast in the cross. We ought to boast in the word. We ought to boast because of the resurrection. Where's your boasting? If you're not a child of God, we want you to be saved so you can be strong and be able to go through anything and everything that life throws your way and throws my way. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, turning away from sin, turn toward God, because of the gospel. And that's what God is wanting us to do. He wants us to repent and turn away from sin, that we can turn toward Him, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And then you'll come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. You can walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to see everything that God is saying. Just know that He said it. Just go do it. That's where the strength is. That's difficult, even as Christians. Even after being in the Lord 20 years sometimes, we want to hold on to things and we want to be able to see everything. No, I'm going to step out because God says step there. I'm going to step out there. Maybe a child of God, you need to be stronger. We all need to be stronger. But it comes because of our relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's where the strength is. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.